Like Effect continues on WUWM Now. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. If you grew up watching public television, that song might have taken you back to the land of make-believe and into the television home of Fred Rogers. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood first aired in 1968 and aired first-run shows for more than 30 years.
You might not expect that a program with a soft-spoken and gentle man in a zip-up cardigan playing with puppets would have touched so many people, but generations came to know Mr. Rogers as an essential part of their lives, early education, and just their childhood in general.
A new documentary by award-winning filmmaker Morgan Neville gives audiences an in-depth look at Fred Rogers. Won't You Be My Neighbor examines the life and legacy of the children's TV host in a flattering but complex way, and it features archival footage, interviews with family and friends, and explains how history influenced the series.
Dave Lurson is one of our regular film contributors, and he visited the studio to talk about his reflections on the film with Audrey Nowakowski.
Dave Lurson, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Always good to be here, Audrey.
So how badly did the world need a documentary like Won't You Be My Neighbor right now?
I think it's extremely timely and sad, really. I left the screening of the film feeling kind of warm and sad, if that makes any sense.
It does.
The ideals of Mr. Rogers have certainly, you know, been much abused, and we live in a very different world than the one I think he imagined. I mean, you know, he wasn't talking about Mr. Rogers' gated community after all. I mean, his idea of a neighborhood, of turning America into a neighborhood, which he defined as a place of safety where, you know, there are differences of opinion and different kinds of people living in this sort of neighborhood, but everyone could find a way of getting along, and there was a sense of true community, of people helping each other out if there was a need, of resolving differences. We don't live there, I'm really sad to say, but I keep coming back to one of the final scenes of the movie. He was brought back from retirement right after 9/11 to speak to the children of America about that. He looked absolutely shattered, like he could not comprehend how the world had turned to that point.
Right, and people can say what they like about events that have transpired since, but that his presence is definitely deeply missed for that platform, both for children and adults, because I feel most people going to see this may go in for the nostalgia, but as you hinted to before, you're going to leave with something much more impactful.
Well, one thing that I never realized, and I have to say I learned a lot from this documentary, which I think is the purpose of a good documentary, is to teach people something in an engaging, entertaining way. And I think that the documentary does that. It's really brilliantly done by Morgan Neville, Oscar-winning documentarian. Never a dull moment in the Mr. Rogers documentary. But I did not know the subversive character of some of his work early on. You know, at a time when desegregation was being fought by white supremacists, there was footage of white supremacists dumping toxic chemicals into a swimming pool to prevent African Americans from swimming in it. Mr. Rogers, puts his feet into a little, you know, pool, foot tub, I guess, and invites Officer Clemens, the African American patrolman in the neighborhood, to, "Oh, it's a hot day. Why don't you put your feet in the pool with me?" I mean, what a statement.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to preach and make a sermon out of it. It was just showing an ideal way that people could live together.
Yeah, a good point that we wouldn't really think about right away upon watching his program was that he was kind of the first televangelist, because he was creating this new formula out of television that, you know, was still trying to find its bearings.
Well, he had very definite ideas about television, and particularly the impact that television would have on children, presumably the most impressionable audience for TV. He really, I think, hated, if you could say Mr. Rogers hated anything, but he strongly disliked most of what was being offered to children. He fought a losing rearguard action against superheroes, for example. He felt that they were, you know, showing violence and presenting dangerously unrealistic role models for young children who might act. I mean, there was actually a case where a young child jumped off of a building with a cape thinking that he could fly. Well, that doesn't work that way. So televangelist, that's a loaded word. I mean, Mr. Rogers was a Presbyterian minister, but the gospel that he preached was considerably different than the one that the people we think of as televangelists, you know, were going on about. Basically, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Fundamental idea that many fundamentalists totally ignore. That was the root of his thinking. But you never, I mean, I never knew he was a Presbyterian minister until I saw the movie. I mean, he didn't make a point of that, but he tried to, I think, live out his ideals and present them in the most accessible way he could think of.
Yeah, his pulpit of puppets and trolleys and a house and...
The emotional vulnerability that he showed was startling. I mean, sometimes he did this through his alter ego sock puppet, Daniel the Tiger, but sometimes it was just him. I mean, a very vulnerable-looking person. And I don't think that very many people, certainly nowadays, would want to put themselves in such a position of vulnerability in public.
Right. It was a flattering yet complex portrait of Fred Rogers. And I also enjoyed the animation that was interspersed in this with him shown as Daniel Tiger, and that, you know, it can confirm that, well, if Fred Rogers has self-doubt, has depression, questions his influence, you know, surely we're all okay to feel that way as well.
Well, that was one of his things, too, was that we all have problems that we have to contend with, and it's okay for, I think, necessary to realize what they are, and to find someone you can talk to about it. I mean, kind of talk therapy for children, if you will. The movie points out the backlash against Mr. Rogers, the accusation that one result of his program was to rear several generations of self-absorbed, narcissistic, whiny, petulant people who assume that they are special simply because they exist. And the movie does make it clear that that was not exactly what he was trying to get at. He was not, and I was kind of surprised, he was a Republican, you know, of a sort that doesn't seem to exist any longer. I mean, we have to remember that there were liberal and moderate Republicans, all shades of opinion in that party at the time that Mr. Rogers was coming up. He was against entitlements, but he was in favor of the very basic idea that every human being is worth something. Every human being, by nature of living, has value. And I suppose he would say that you know, beyond that point, you create your value by what you do.
Well, in his lessons, and, you know, the common phrase, mother knows best, and Fred Rogers believed that with the way television and media and the consumer market was going, was that, no, Fred Rogers knows best, because these children aren't getting what they need from what's out there at the moment. He was truly someone who would address the child as an individual through the screen. You know, that the controversy that, you know, we're entitled, but then again, now we have, oh, millennials are entitled. They expect everything to be done for them or something like that. So you have that of every generation. But for him to have each child as that special individual, but also the power of acknowledging the feelings you have, sharing them, and also the power of silence.
Well, silence, you know, yes, there's not enough of that in today's world, and there already was a diminishing amount of it in the media of Fred Rogers' time. He understood the importance of silence, which, is the backdrop against which everything happens, for one thing. Silence enables us to think, and maybe one of the things he wanted to do, if you could map out the agenda of Fred Rogers, was he wanted people to think about themselves, think about themselves in relation to other people, think about the effect of what we do on other people and the world that we live in.
He basically created a format with perhaps the worst formula in an era where television was still learning how to walk on its own. You know, he did the writing for the show, composing the music, singing, production. You know, it was a low production value, unlikely star, and yet it turned into this success that aired for more than 30 years.
Yeah, how to account for that? He struck a chord, obviously, with millions of people. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, he intended the show for a preschool audience. I think that the audience was larger than that very soon. Did parents steer their children toward it? Did children discover this on their own while flipping the dial when TV sets had dials on it? Probably a little bit of both. To me, looking at him, he was already anachronistic looking in 1968 when he debuted. He looked like, to my mind, a kind of 1950s camp counselor or something, you know, 10 years too late. In this sort of 1950s sitcom living room, you know, sitting around talking. It seems unlikely, but somehow it worked, maybe because of the genuineness, the aura of integrity that surrounded his presentation.
Yeah, and the documentary really did settle a question. Yes, he really was like that, you know, on and off the camera.
Right. I mean, I guess it does indicate that he had his trying moments, though, once in a while, but... Yeah, I'm happy to know it wasn't a fake pose all those years.
Exactly. The skill to consolidate all of this information yet highlight the key moments of both his success and his trying moments. Did you feel that there was a great balance of the archival footage of the show and also of him just interacting with people, but then deeper moments that weren't scripted and also just felt like there was good testimonial balance when typically documentaries can either lean too heavily on one source over another?
Well, I mean, Morgan Neville is very skilled. I've enjoyed some of his previous documentaries. This one will probably, I mean, I think it's certainly Academy Award nomination worthy and may very well win. It's too early to make these kinds of predictions now, but I think because of the widespread interest in the subject, for one thing. But yeah, the animation makes it entertaining and illustrates certain aspects of Fred Rogers' life and ideas. The archival footage, of course, was absolutely necessary given the subject matter. And yes, well-chosen interviews with surviving family and associates. Nice to meet his real children. I mean, to see how they turned out, that's interesting. One of his crew members for the TV show made the kind of, again, a sad, melancholy comment that, you know, nice guys like him aren't as common as they once were. And I think that's very true.
Do you feel that this is kind of a reminder of what we're lacking in TV and media nowadays, too? I mean, not just with children's programming, but that impact overall when there's so many shows per channel, per hour, you know?
I suppose no one program nowadays for children or for any other particular demographic could have the widespread influence of a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood because of the splintered, fractured nature of the media and our attention spans being dragged one way and pulled the other constantly by the hundreds of different options out there. This was still the era of three commercial networks and PBS. So choices were limited and a show that caught on could really catch on in a bigger way, I think, than anything possibly could now. But I think that what we might be lacking right now is television with the kind of humane values that Fred Rogers tried to put across.
Well, Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson is the arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express newspaper and the writer of its I Hate Hollywood blog. He spoke with Audrey Nowakowski about the new documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, which is opening on Milwaukee screens this Friday.